Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud Tes 119, and we will start with Amar Rav about six lines up from the bottom on Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis. As those of you who have been doing the daf realize, we are now deep into Perek Ha'or V'Harotev. We're into the discussions. Yesterday's daf was all about Yados and Shomrim, and we need to realize also that to appreciate these concepts more. Obviously, we have to spend more time on it. We'll do what we can do. But Yados and Shomrim are really, there's a lot of lumdus behind these concepts related to, is it considered part of the Kli? Is it just an extension of the Kli? What's the difference between a Yad and a Shomer? What defines Tumah? So these are all Yosef Masha Karanu Kasuf Kan, as we say in Masechta Sukkah. But we'll do what we can do. So we will start with a Machlokas. Between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the second. The previous one was from yesterday's daf, Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether there is Yad Latuma and Yad LaHechsher or no Yad LaHechsher, which is an important Machlokas for Hechsher LaKabal Tuma. That was the previous Machlokas. But we will start with this Machlokas about six lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav, Ein Yad LaFachos Mikazayas. Rav says, if there is an item that is the size of less than a Kazayas, there's no Yad for it. Yad, a handle, halachically, of something, an extension of an object, is only possible when there's significance to the object. If the object is so tiny, it's less than a kezias, there's no significance to that. So even though it's the same physical handle, it's the same yad, but you don't just look at it as a yad, you look at it in context of the item. So if the item is so small that it's not significant, then we're not going to say it has any chashivas, and it's not called a yad. So, and therefore what? And therefore, let's say Tumah touches the Yad, it's not Matami, the item that's less than a Kazayas. So, Ein Yad, Pachas be Kazayas. The Ein Shomer, Lopachas be Kapul. And a Shomer also has a shear, albeit a smaller shear. A pull, a large bean, is smaller than a Kazayas. But, says Rav, a Shomer also has the limit. There's no Shomer that is less than a pull. If it's small, if the item is smaller than a pull, then it is not going to be tame. It's not going to be called a shomer in terms of echlas tuma v'tahara. Remember yesterday we said the important chilek of shomer and yad. There was a lot of limudim, but let's not get too focused. I mean, the limudim are good, but the folk remember the din. Shomer and yad are both mitame and mitame. They both get tuma and give off tuma, and the difference is whether they're mitzarif, whether they can be mitzarif to the item. A shomer can be mitzarif and a yad can't be mitzarif, which makes sense. If you think about it, a shomer is more part of the item than a yad is. A yad is more of a handle. It's a handle. It allows you to deal with, to move the item. A yad helps you out. A shomer helps out the item. Doesn't help you out. A yad is for you. A shomer is for the item. Some Achronim might formulate it like that. That's why there's a difference. But the shomer could be part of the size of the item because the shomer is for the item. It's an orange peel. It's something that allows the item to stay. We'll see a bone which has marrow in it. So that bone is guarding the marrow because if the bone was open on the sides, the marrow would become putrid. So anything that's for the item, that's a shomer. Right? And therefore, it makes sense that it's mistarif to the item. It's part of the item. A yad is more for the person. What does a yad do for the item? It's able to be handled, but that's legabe the gavra. So that could be for transference, maybe, but to be considered part of the item, then yad is less considered part of the item than shomer. It's just a way to remember. Shomer is more in the item, and a yad is more in the gavra. Okay, so we have. So Rav says there are limits to the amounts of yad and shomer. A yad has to be at least the item connected to a yad has to be at least a kezias, and for a shomer it has to be at least a pull. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yesh yad lefachos mikezias, yesh shomer lefachos mipull. Mikapull. Rabbi Yochanan says there's no limit. Even a tiny amount would be okay. Important discussion here on Rashi. What's the case here? So in Rav, so Rav says you need at least a kezias for a yad. Wait a minute. Needed these kezias for a yad. Remember we mentioned 2 days ago on Friday the first introduction to the parak. What are the shiurim for tumah and tahara? We mentioned for tumas nevela it's kezias. For tumas ochlin, which is what we're talking about here. So we said to transfer tumah to something else, it has to be the size of a beitza. To become tamei machlokas. Rambam says kol shehu, any tiny amount of food could become tamei. If you have a tiny little piece of food, it could become tamei. The Rashi, in a few places, He quotes both opinions, but Rashi in a few places, we saw the one in Pesachim Lama Gimel, Rashi says that it has to be also at least a kebetza. Just like to give off tumah, to be metame, it has to be a betza. So to get tumah, it has to be a betza. Rashi Lushitasa right here. The question on our Gemara is, according to Rav, it has to be at least a kezias? What do you mean it has to be a kezias? It can't pick up tummy anyway, unless it's the size of a betza. No, isn't that true? So if you say like the Rambam, the shah doesn't get off the ground. No, you don't. It can pick up tummy any amount. But Rashi Lushitasa says it has to be a betza. So then look at Rashi here. Ein yalavach has to be kezias. Fifth to last skinny, medium line. Im yish ochal pachos b'kezayis. Kegon pull. Ochati zayis basar. Vilo yad. If this is enough type of a food. Swallow that a kezayis and it has a yad. V'harei hu im ochlin kebetza. Rashi has to add that in. There's other food in the basket with it. There's other food in the basket with it. Vinaga tuma biyad. And the tumah touches the yad. If the tumah touches the yad, so Rashi says, as long as there is a kizayis of this piece, so then it can combine with the other items in the basket to add up to a betza to make everything tameh. But if there's not even a kizayis of this piece, so then even if there's a lot of tumah in there, doesn't matter. This piece has to be at least a kizayis. It's an amazing shita, Rashi's saying. There, according to Tosas right here argues, says, Rashi, what are you talking about? Why should the tumah transfer to something else there in the basket? We're talking about items themselves. It's in the basket? It's not mitztarif for tumah. Maybe it's mitztarif to the shear of challah. We've said that in the past. If you have dough, a lot of dough in one basket, so then it can be mitztarif to the shear of challah. But you put a cover on it. If you say a woman forgot to take off challah, she covers it with a towel, whatever she does to be mitzarif it. But to the achronim, Tosas asks Rashi. Tosas asks, what's Rashi talking about? This item to be a kezias itself. But the tumah is going to be transferred to the other items of the basket. So it's somewhere in the middle, according to Rashi. Important shita. That is shitas Rashi in the Gemara. Tosas has a different shot of the Gemara. Tosas says, no, it's all one thing. It's just loosely connected in that if you pick one part of the item up, the other part will fall off. The Tosas has to figure out a way to make it all mechubar, but not totally mechubar. Because we're talking about less than a kezias here, and Tosas Lashitas holds like the Rambam, that you don't need any amount of shear to become tameh, only to transfer tumah. So that's why if you look at Tosas, look at the Tosas in Ein Yad quotes Rashi, third line, V'ein Nira, Tafilo Haya Nogeh B'chati Zayis Atzmo Lo Haya Tameh. If it's touching something else, it won't pick up tameh, as we had in the first parak of the Chuli Kotze Gemara. Skip down to the last couple of skinny lines. V'nira lefarish, Tot says, no, I have a different shot in Rashi. Shezeh chati zayis mechubar im kebetza ochlin. It is connected. Avol enu mechubar kolkach. It's very weak. V'im haya magbia oso, if you would lift it, haya nitak oso kebetza ochlin be'oso pachos b'kezayis. It'd fall apart. Okay, he comes up. Machlokas Rashi tells us exactly what the case is. But keep in mind Rashi, because Rashi's going to say it again on today's daf at a later point. So anyway, that is the discussion of what is the shita of Rav. But we have a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Machlokas. So again, Rav says that there is a minimum shear for yad and shomer. You need a kezias and a kapul respectively. Mashenke, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no shear, and we just spoke about what exactly is the shita of Rav, and we also spoke about the difference between yad and shomer. The importance, again, hopefully it'll come up again. Shomer more did in the chefsa, protection of the item. Yad more in the gavra, the handling of the item by the person. But that's why it's not mistarif. Okay, so let's go. Meisvei, says the Gemara. There is a Tosefta in Meseches Ahalas. Beis Atzamos Va'alein Beis Chatzoy Zesim. There are two bones. Each bone has a half a kezias of meat on it. Half a kezias of flesh. V'hichnes Rashehen Shnehem Labayis. Both, let's say the each bone has half a kezias of meat on one end of it. The other ends are put into a house. The other ends. So what's the issue here? The bone is something to the meat. Let's say it's a yad to the meat. It's a handle. You can handle the meat by holding onto the bone. So it's a yad. Yad, we said, yad and shomer. They're mitame and mitame. So the yad is in the house. So is the house, does the house have tumas ohel? Because the halacha is you have to have a kezias of basar in a house to make it matame ba'ohel. So the question here is, the beef's not in the house. The yad's in the house. But it's two different bones. There's a half a kezias on each. Are they mitztarif? That's the question. So, the habayis mahil aleim, the bayis is a mahil on the half of the bones. Is it nevela or is it ochel? The house is it has to be tumas beis, tumas ochel doesn't create tumas ochel.
But the problem is that the you're sticking
we'll
the
see
bone,
habayis,
you're taking the bone into the house, so the bone is what's tamei.
The bone, yeah, because the bone is a yad to the basar. But tumas ochlin, if it's just tumas ochlin, tumas ochel does not matame a house.
Why don't you call it a shomer instead of a yad?
So let's see. Or else it's a shomer, exactly. Is it a shomer? Because without the bone, the meat would just decompose. Let's see. So the Tanakhama says, Habayis Tomei, says Rashi, second to last line, Hama'ahil al hayad. Right? It's ma'ahil on the yad. Kim ma'ahil al habasar. As if the basar's inside. Etzem below basar, metame b'magu b'masa, v'ena metame b'ohel. Just the etzem, as we've said, an etzem is metame b'magu b'masa, not ohel. Right? It has to be, tumas nevel is also not metame b'ohel. It has to be human basar. I'm talking about ahalas, right? Just to clarify. So says the Tanakama, the bayis is tame, meaning it works through as if the basar is inside. Yehuda ben Nekusa Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Heich Shnei Atzamos Mesarvan L'Kazayis. It's not true. The two bones can't combine. Yes, Yehuda ben Nekusa would hold. If you don't usually have so many rabbis quoted in the Tanakh, they don't have Rebbe before their names. Just as Yehuda ben Nekusa. Interesting. B'shem Rabbi Yaakov. But they just as Yehuda. So Yehuda ben Nekusa says, yes, I'll agree. If there is one bone with a kezias of meat on it, and that's outside, that'll work. My problem here is to be mitztarif. Mitztarif then. Right? So the Tanakhama says, in this case, with the bones inside that in the house, with the flesh on the outside, so it is, the house is tamei. Yehuda ben Nekusa says the house is tahar. So, this Tosefta, each Shita, is problematic according to one of the Shitas that we've had, right, with the Machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether there is a minimum requirement for Yad, or Shomer. So says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to first deal with Rav, and then with Rabbi Yochanan. The Rav, hi, but my Ukimla, what kind of bones are we talking about in this Tosefta? What kind of bones? E, biyad, kashereisha. If we're talking about yad, the issue is yados, that the yad is inside, so kashereisha. So according to Rav, the reisha is a problem. Why? Because Rav says there's a minimum shear. You need a kezias. And here you don't have a kezias. Each yad is only a yad on a half a kezias. So how could the Tanakhama say what he says? E, bishomer. And if we say, oh, Mr. Schlossel just said that it's a shomer, right? So then, kasha seifa. That it's a seifa. Why? Because by a shomer, Rav says all you need is the size of a bean, the size of a pull, and you have that here, lachora. Seifa, why does Yehuda ben Nekusa say you're taller in that case? Each one has the size of a pull. So according to Rav, there's one sheet that's problematic. So Gemara answers, no problem. Ibayisema bishomer, ibayisema biyad. You could say it's either about a shomer or a yad, right? This is an example. Sometimes it's not clear whether it's a shomer or a yad, because sometimes an item does both functions. It helps preserve an item, and it also, you can handle it with it. Some things are clear, that it's a basar, or if you have the skin of something, or the hide, that's going to be a shomer. But if it's the, right, you don't usually handle something with a on the hide. But some things are specifically, you know, you could come up with some yados. But here the bone could be either one. So you buy the same up, a shomer, you buy the same up, a yad. What's the difference? Rashi explains. A shomer would be if there's marrow inside the bone. And a yad would be if there's no marrow inside the bone. If there's marrow inside the bone, then the bone is protecting the marrow inside of it, is also a shomer. Mashe'ekein, for yad, it's just a yad to the flesh that's outside. So it'll be pure yad if it's empty. That's why Rashi says, right, it's a yad, Rashi on the second line, shebe etzem hazeh ein bomoach. That's yad. There's basar on the other end of it. So, says the Gemara, Rav could interpret either way, shomer or yad. Iba yisema b'yad, v'huda amar ki Yehuda ben Nekusa. Maybe it's talking about yad, and therefore there is a requirement of kezias, and therefore Rav would hold like the second cheetah, which has the house of star. But it doesn't work. Or maybe it's a shomer, which has the shear of a pull, and therefore it is metame, and that's the Tanakama Shita. Meaning the Tanakama is not, you don't need the tziruf. The pshat is you don't need the tzir for the two kezesim. Each one is betame itself. Right? And the chiddush maybe is only according to the other shita. But that is Rav. Well, we work out that Rav is according to one of the opinions. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kula biyad, v'udama katana kama. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's all about yad, but Rabbi Yochanan himself, remember, says there's no minimum shear. No minimum shear for yad. And therefore, it's tami automatically, and he would say like the Tana Kama. Period. So he worked out the Tosefta according to each Shitas. Isn't it interesting though? What was the big problem with the what was the Gemara's question? Gemara's question was, oh, it's against. Usually when you ask a kasha on a Tana, it's that he doesn't have anybody to hold. He asks a kasha on an Amora, it's he doesn't have anybody to hold like. So what does he do with his Brisa? But the Gemara here knows even in the Hava Mina that it only is problematic according to one of the Shitos. And yet the Gemara is still bothered. Maybe just leading up to the answer. And it's also interesting that it's Dafka Rav and Rabbi Yochanan being discussed here. We've noted in the past that it's not so clear that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan can't argue on the Tanaim. We quoted Rabbi Yochanan in the end of Baba Basra. The Gemara at the end of Baba Basra said, Rav, in a different detailed machlokas, which we don't have to get into now, Rav says, the halacha is not like either of the Tanaim. And the Rashbam there says, Baba Basra Kuf Ayin, Rav Tana Upalig. Where it says sometimes, Rav was on the borderline, so Rav is considered a Tana, and he is allowed to argue. But it says, Rabbi Yochanan says, he asked Rabbi Chaim, that if Tosfos and Ksubis says that Rabbi Yochanan argues on this principle of Rav Tana Upalig. Rabbi Yochanan says Rav can't argue. And Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, what's the rule? Halachak Rabbi Yochanan. So we should never paskin like Rav against Tanaim, because we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't hold to the principle of Rav Tana Upalig. And even though he's arguing on Rav. That was the question to Rabbi Chaim. The Rabbi Chanan asked, the Baam Kasha, how could we ever paskin like Rav, which we do in that context of Baba Basra, if Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold to the principle of Rav Tana Upalig, and therefore Rav should be allowed to argue in the Tanaim? That was the Kasha, Rabbi Chanan said. So he said, he asked Rabbi Chaim, and Rabbi Chaim answered him, the Heshiv, we had a whole shiur on this, De Be'emes, this is Tuf Reish Lamed Gimel, in Kovet Shiurim. De Be'emes, Gam Amora Yish Bekocho Lachlok Al Tana. Deep down, said Rabbi Chaim, and Amora is really allowed to argue on a Tana. Shas would have been much shorter, it seems. Right? Every page in Shas, how could this Amora say this? It's against the Mishnah, it's against the Tosefta. V'zeto mosvin and tiufta mitanoi l'amoroi humishum da Amora eno cholik altana. He wouldn't, not that he couldn't. He wouldn't, because he knows the Tanaim were had special siyata d'shmaya, but could he, if he really wanted to, the ilu yada divrei atana, and the Gemara is really asking that if the Amora would have known that the Tana said this, he wouldn't have argued on him in the first place. But where he argues b'feirish, efsher lios halacha kamoso. So you're asking me, my Talmud Rabbi Chanan, you're asking me that how could we ever hold like Rav? Rabbi Yochanan says that Rav can't argue. Any Amora could argue, fundamentally, says Rabbi Chaim. V'der, and he says, that's what it says in various places in Shas. When it says, Zu Eina Mishnah. When an Amora says, how can an Amora say? That's not an authoritative Mishnah. He's basically saying, I have the authority. I have the authority to do it, and therefore, it is allowed. Then he quotes the letter of Rav Shri Ragon, which sounds otherwise. Okay, but either way, this is Rav Chaim. We've noted, whenever this has come up, that this is not so pashit. Maybe there's a Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Mamrim that says this too, but Ruba de Ruba of the Achronim assume this is not the Pshat of Shas. The Pshat of Shas is that Amoraim are not allowed to argue on Tanoim. And that's what the Gemara means. That's why the Gemara sometimes will end up saying Tiufta, because an Amora, after when the Mishnah was finished, that was a stage of the Halachic Mesorah, and you're not allowed to violate and go over the red lines, right? We said that's based on Gemara and Avodah Zarah. It was just Maisa Bereishis. We can mention this Gemara again. Avodah Zarah Daf Tes. The Gemara says that that the world is going to be 6,000 years long, 2,000 years of Tohu, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach. That's what the Gemara says. So what does that mean? So Yemos HaMashiach means Mashiach can come anytime during those 6,000 years. Hopefully today. Right, Mashiach, so 2,000, first 2,000 years with Tohu. Anything happened at year 2,000? What happened to the year 2,000? Was there any significance what Torah started? Maamar Sinai was not at the year 2,000 of the Hebrew calendar. It didn't happen. So, Avraham Avinu turned 52 at the year 2,000. Many say he was born in 1948, and there's a Machlokas Rishonim, Rambam, Ravid, and Hilchas Tshuva, and the Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, and other Rishonim. How old was Avraham when he recognized God? Some say 3. Some say 40, some say 52. Right? Different ages. But either way, something significant could have happened at 52. Maybe that's when Avram started spreading the monotheism, but that was the year 2000, so that's when Torah started. Torah started then because that's when Avram Avinu started spreading belief in God. What happened to the year 4000? Anything? Rashi says, no. Rashi in Sanhedrin Sadeches, I think that's also where this Gemara is, the parallel Gemara, Rashi says, no, it just says 4000, Torah continued, but it just says it to be parallel. 2000, just like this is something at 2000, it says 4000. Now Yemos HaMashiach started, but of course Torah is still around, but Torah's not around anymore. Says the Marsha in that Gemara, says the Torah Tamima, that, on Brachos, I think the Torah Tamima said, he says, no. Something happened at the year 4000. That's about the year that the Mishnah was recorded. The Mishnah was written down. And when the Mishnah was written down, that was the end of Torah in a certain sense. The way the Chazon Ish says it is that all the principles of Torah were already laid down at the year 4000. Everything that we do afterwards, everything that Amoraim do, everything that we do, is all application. We don't come up with any chidushim. Microwaves, technology, IVF, all of this is applying principles that the Tanaim came up with. That's the Chazon Ish in Hilchos Mamrin. That's what he says, arguing on that Kesef Mishnah in Perek Beis. But that's related to this Gemara. This Gemara is so bothered by Rav and Yochanan arguing on Tanaim. Right, so we have the Yesodos Gedolos that come out of this Gemara. Okay.
Just go back for one second to the concept that the bone was a shomer.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably we're talking about a marrow bone. Otherwise,
the bone is a shomer, as Rashi says. Bone and shomer has to have the marrow inside.
Okay. So,
but that would then be a shomer also. You're about to ask, is it a shomer to the basar?
Well, my first question was whether a marrow bone
can
cause tumas ovalos. If it can't, why is it a shomer?
Right, so a marrow bone, so we say basar, only basar could cause tumas ovalos, not bone. So it has to be the shomer of basar.
Right.
So lechora, marrow is called basar. It's not etzem. By the question, but once it's a shomer, the chiddush seems to be that it's also a shomer. There's not enough of a shear in the marrow, so the chiddush is that it also could be a shomer to what's. Once it's a shomer, it's a shomer to the flesh on the outside also. Shomer to that too. Okay, Tashma. Let's try again on the Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Tosefta in Uksin. We're gonna these dafim have a lot of Uksin. It's very important to do. It's the last Masechta in Shas. No Gemara on it. So here we do. We have a lot of oxen. So, kol yis sheyesh aleha kezayas basar. If somebody has a thigh bone, kol yis, that has a kezayas basar on it, that has a kezayas of flesh on it, goreres kula l'tuma. It causes tuma, the entire bone, the entire kol yis bone, to contract tuma because it has this basar on it. Right? Again, it's yad slash omer. It's something. This bone is something to the basar. Acherim omrim, but a different shita says, afilu ein aleha ela kapul. Even if it only has the size of a pool, flesh the size of a pool, goreres alela tumah. It still literally drags the tumah. It means it makes the whole thing tummy. So, similar machlokas, the Tanakama says that the shear is a kizayis, the Rabbi Yehuda says the shear is a kizayis, and Acherim say the shear is a pool. So, v'rav, hi, b'may mukimlo. What are we talking about? What is the bone? Ibi yad, if the bone is a yad, and therefore Rav said the shear for yad is kizayis, so kashi seifa. The second sheet is a problem, because Acherim say the shear is a bean. V'ibi shomer, and if we're talking about a shomer, kashi resha. Then the resha is a problem. Why? Because Rav says by shomer all you need is the size of a bean. So why does the Tanakama say you need the size of a kezias? So either way, one of the sheetahs is a problem. So same thing. No problem. He holds like one of the sheetahs. Maybe it's like yad, and therefore he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's the size of a bean. Size of a kezias. He buys same b'shomer kachirim, or he says like it's a shomer and it's kachirim, which is the size of a pole. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kula b'shomer. Rabbi Yochanan again says we say it's a shomer and he doesn't have any shiurim. For who damar kachirim, just like Rabbi Yochanan says you don't need any shiur, so too he holds like kachirim. 1 minute, kachirim hakapul kamri. Kachirim did have a limit. It had the achirim also the size of a pool. Rabbi Yochanan had no limit. So the Gemara says, you're right, achirim are lav dafka. Aidi de ka'amar tanakama shiura, kamri inhunami shiura. They gave a shear, even though it's not dafka. The tanakama said, you need this shear. So they said, nah, I don't need that shear. Even a pool. But they really mean even anything. They don't really mean the size of a pool. Period. Amar Rava. Dekanami de b'shomer askinan. I think that it's talking about shomer, which fits in exactly to what Rabbi Yochanan wants to say. Why? De katani kul yishlamina. Because we say kul yish, a thigh bone always has marrow in it. So that's why it makes sense that we're talking about a shomer and not talking about a yad. Period. That's what Rashi says in the sixth medium line. She'im. I'm sorry. Right. Rashi says on the first wide line. The stam kulis yish b'moach. Stam kulis yish b'moach. Period. Okay. Let's just do another point in Rashi, but let's just do the next four lines because it's connected. Itmar, this is a machlokas about the shita of Achirim that we just quoted. Rabbi Chanina Amar Zehushir. Rabbi Chanina says, no, take it literally. They do mean a pull. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Zashir. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's Lavdafka. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Ein Zashir, Baktani Kapul. What do you mean? They don't have a shir. It says Kapul. I did the Kamar Tanakama Shira Katarmin Inhunami Shira. Okay, just finishing up. So it's really a machlokas of the later Amorim. Of the Amoraim, what the Shita of Achirim was, period. Just to show you that it's another Rashi l'shitaso. We mentioned Rashi at the beginning of today's Shir. But also today, if you look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th medium line in Rashi, Rashi again says l'shitaso, that Tumas Ochlin, in order to become Tamei, you need the Shir of a Beitza. Against that Rambam, who says Kalshu, Rashi says, in the case of Gorer Tuma, She'im Haya Im Kebeitza Ochlin. V'naga sheretz ba b'chol makom sheba tamei. Rashi says it again. So Rashi, we had it on Amud Beis yesterday, on today. That seems to be Rashi Shita most of the time, even though there are a few places in Shas where he quotes the other Shita, that Tumas Ochlin, not only to make something else tamei, kuliyama, you need to have the size of a beitza, but also to become tamei, you need the size of a beitza. That is Shitas Rashi. Meaning, if I have a tiny piece of cucumber, a little piece of cucumber, less than a beitza, that touches a dead body, it is not Tame. That's Rashi Shita. The Rambam says it is Tame. And that's the major machlokas l'maisa. L'maisa, what the halacha is. Okay, vay to tashma. Let's try again. Try again to prove or disprove Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're quoting a Mishnah. Mishnah Mesechus Uksin. So the Gemara only quotes the second half of the Mishnah, so we got to do the first half of the Mishnah. First half of the Mishnah says, what's Uksin about? What's an Ukitz? So we all know ukitz because we know pitamen and ukitz when it comes to esrogim. Ukitz is where the fruit is attached to the tree. That's an ukitz. Uksin is all about these concepts that we're doing right now. Shomrim and yados. You have extensions of fruit. So what is that considered for Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara? Is it an extension? Is it not an extension? Is it a shomer? Is it not a shomer? That's all uksin. So also, the last masechta in Shas. So the Mishnah in uksin says, in Perak Aleph Mishnah Hey, what happens if I have a pod? We all know peas in a pod. But let's assume we have snow peas, so you can eat the pods. Let's assume we have the good old-fashioned peas, that you don't eat the pods. And if you have a pea in a pod, peas in pods, so those are shomrim, or maybe they're yados. You handle the pods in order to not to touch the peas, but it also protects the peas. That's why this is a discussion here. So ask the Mishnah, what if you have an empty pod? If you have an empty pod, then what do we say about Hilchas Tumas Ochlin? So, says the Mishnah, there in Uksin, Sharbit Shel Tamara Sherikno Tahar. If you took them all out, you took out all the peas, all you have is the pod, the inedible pod, Tahar. It's not Tami Tumas Ochlin, because it's not edible anymore. Shirbo Tamara Achas. Let's see, you left one pea in there. Tame. It's Tame. V'chein Bekitnios. Also, if you have barley, the sharbit sherikno tahar, if you have a stalk that was totally emptied, it's tahar. There's no more. You just have the stalk. It's tahar because there's no more edible items on it. Shir bo gargar echa tame. You left one on, it's tame. That's the Tanakama Shita. Who argues? Now we get to our Gemara. Rav Elazar ben Azarya argues. He is mitar bishel pul. He says, by pul, by beans, even if there's one left in there, it's tahar. It's tahar. Umitame bishel kidnis. But he argues, he says, if it's kidnis, by you have one still left on the stalk, it is tame. Mipnei. Why? She wrote it b'mash mishan. Why is it matay b'shal kinis? Because you want that stalk on it to be able to handle it. If you would handle the kernels themselves, they would get mushy, they'd fall off. So you dafka want the stalk. That's what the Mishnah says. So the problem is, Rav requires a pull. Rav requires for yad the size of a pull, which is a big bean, and kidneys are small beans. Rashi exclaims. So how could Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say tameh if you have a kidneys, you have stalk with one kernel left on it? Right, so next time we're walking on the mountain right outside here, and we see in the wheat that's growing. So as you see, some that have some left on it, some that have none left on it. So you can see if it has that none left on it, oh, no more yad. Right, and then if you see one left on it, oh, machlokes. If you have three left on it, oh, everybody says that's a yad. Right, and we see you have to see everything through halachic prism. So here, Elazar ben Azariah is mechalik. So, but ask the Gemara, Kashan Rav, how could he say, Elazar ben Azariah say, that if you have one left on it, it's going to be tameh, it's going to be a yad, but that's smaller than a pole? Answer, Kedam Ravach, Abrei Derava, Bikulcha, Umishum Yad. We're talking about stems. Rashi explains, stems which have a lot of stalks on them. So it's all connected. So even if you have one on each stalk altogether, it's more than a pull. So altogether, it's more than the large bean, and therefore it's bishum yad. And that's that. Just like Rav Acha Barei D'Rava said that somewhere else, which we'll get to on Amud Beis, kol chamishum yad, hachanei b'kol chamishum yad. We're talking about here. We're talking about a stalk that has a lot of. We're talking about a stem that has a lot of stalks connected to it. So even if you have one on each one, it's good enough. Umay b'mashmishon b'tashmishon. It means handling it. You want to handle the stalk instead of the kernels themselves. Imagine you have a stalk of wheat growing. If you try to hold it by the kernels, they don't fall off. They'll fall off. So you want to hold it by the stalk. That's mamish yad. It's exactly a yad. You want to hold it by the yad. If the kernel separates, it'll still last. It's not a shomer, but it's a yad. Right? So that's why it's a yad. And that's what in this case we answered up for Rav. You do have the shear. Fine. Tashma. Let's try again. Again, this is Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. One more Machlokas, then we get to the next discussion. Tashma, four lines from the bottom. The Tana of the Rabbi Yishmael, we have this already. We have this back on the first Amud of the Perek. Rabbi Yishmael, the Shishi Rabbi Yishmael says, this was the source for the concept of Yad and Shomer. I'll call Zera Zerua Kiderach Shabbatei Adam Motzi'in. In the Derech, was the last thing we said on Friday, in the way that people are Motzi, Lizria. That they plant. How do people plant? Chita, or how could they plant? Chita beklipasa, seora beklipasa, va'adoshim beklipasan. So you have wheat and barley and lentils all in their shell. Talking about one, what is the pasuk talking about? This is Tumas Ochlin. That's the pasuk we're talking about. A sheretz falls in any of these. One seed, one kernel, that's smaller than the amount. And this was the proof of, which one was this? This was the proof for, for Shomrim. So doesn't Shomrim need a larger shear? Answers the Gemara, Birya shiny. Birya is different. Last perek, we had the concept of Birya when it comes to Isser V'Hefter. We know even though generally one requires a shear to eat treif, you need a full kezias of nevela, a full kezias of chela, v'chulu v'chulu. But if somebody has a Birya, an entire item, so that's asur, even if it's less than a kezias. If somebody has a tiny, entire Gid Hanasha, that's where it came up, right? A Gid Hanasha that's tiny, that's considered a birya. That could be, at least according to some. Or if it's an ant, a tiny bug, that's where it comes up. Birya, that's daraisa, when it's chayiv malkus, for eating an entire item like that because it's kind of a birya. We mentioned on a Durabanan level, Chazal extend this to say it's not batel. Birya is ain't no batel in a mixture. Birya is asur, that's daraisa. Birya ain't no batel, that extension is asur d'rabanan. We have that there. So now we have it in a different context. We have that in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara.
I thought that one of the four definitions of birya is
Dover Sheish Bochius. A Gidanasha has Chius. Oh, so that's, oh, good. So the Rishonim say what Joshua said, and that is, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the summary of that Rashba, that you need, the four things that you need for birya is Dover Sheish Bochius, and Dover Shalem, and it's only called that item when it's whole, and it is, I've got all the other one, what? Asur, right, it's Asur from its inception. From its inception, yeah, both. So here too, so you'd have to say that you don't need all of those for Tumah V'Tahara. You need all those for Isser V'Hefter, but you don't need all those for Tumah V'Tahara, right? Because here, you don't have, the Mishnah says Beferish and Makas, that this is not Birya. Chita Beklipa, if you like Tevel, let's say you eat one piece of Chita for Tevel. Is it bir yes? I think the Mishnah there says no, because that's not that's the shein bochias. But here it says dafka chita is. So you have to say there's a difference between birya and hilchos toma, and birya and hilchos isur v'heter. Birya also, the other place where birya comes up, as we know, is in hilchos brachas. Hilchos brachas birya comes up if somebody, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch advises not to eat a grape. If you can eat grapes, have a couple of grapes. Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Reish Yud. Good. Simon Reish Yud, the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'yesh mis tafkin lomar tosas and brachas." Some say the al davar shu kibir yaso kago kamo kago and gargir shel enav. Right, what is one grit enav? Right, shall rimon one seed of a pomegranate. Just eat one. Nobody ever eats one, but you can eat one grape. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it because there's a big suffix. What bracha you make afterwards? You definitely say bar praise beforehand. But what do you do afterwards? Shema barach alachar alavavish imbo kazayis lachen nochin lizar shel lechol birya pachas bikazayis. V'lo mikir birya ela machlo kamo shehu. Avalam lachach hagarin mimenu lo mikir birya. If you take out the seed, it's not a birya. Big shaila. Because what is it, an edible seed, not an edible seed? When do you consider it a birya? But anyway, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Achronim though extend this. Rav Avadya has a tshuva. Rav Avadya in Yabi Omer and Chelek Shmini. Chelek Shmini, the eighth Chelek, the last Chelek in Sibin Chathei. He has a three-part Shuva. First part is it's a great Shaila. What if you suck on a wedge of an orange just for the juice, and you suck the juice out? Make a Shahakol or a Ha'etz? You're drinking, but you have the wedge in your mouth. Maybe you'll get some pulp. What bracha do you make on pulp orange juice? Another question. Right, but the Baruch Hashem in our house, we don't have the problem because the kids don't let us buy pulp orange juice. But that's the first chayla. But the second one is another one. The third shayla is the one for us. The shayla leham as far as hamachmirim b'din birya lebar bracha achrona like Tosfos. What happens? First of all, does it only apply to shivas aminim or not? If there's a type of fruit that you could have a birya, a seed, that's not Shabbat Amin. Is it only because of the Chashivas? What are the examples that Tosfos gives? Grapes and pomegranates. Is that just Lamaisa because those are the ones that he thought of? Does it apply outside? One Machlokas. He quotes a Machlokas Rishonim about that. And he says, Hagam Shalom Reisi Echem and Aposkim are Rishonim Achronim Shechilek but in Birya. But Anir Lanei Zedika Saifti, the Tami Dibisavar, he quotes. But then he says, what about 2 points? Number one, Venire Shehaochel Plach Shel Tapuz. What if you eat a whole wedge of an orange? Says the Rav Avadya, Chashiv Nami Birya. He says, I think it's called a birya. If you have an entire wedge, why is there a difference between one seed of a pomegranate and one wedge of an orange? They're each separate entities in the fruit, and therefore he said it's a major suffix. You can't just eat one wedge. Got to eat a wedge, I guess a small. If you have a big orange, that wedge is like as big as a kazayas probably anyway. But if you have a small wedge, says the, right, a clementine, right? So then he has that suffix. There's an easy way out. Smush it before you eat it. Right, crush it or cut it up before you eat it. The Mr. Brook quotes here, and everybody should. If you cut it by a grape, you don't usually do that. We cut up grapes for kids, but if you just, usually you just pop the grapes into our mouth. But if we smush it, we do something, we break it, so then it would be okay. But anyway, that's regarding birya in our context. Viter. By Ravoshia. Ravoshia has the following question. Shnei Shomrim, Maoshi Yitztarfu. Two Shomrim. Two shomrim be mitztarif. What exactly is the case of two shomrim? Hey chidami. Ilema bazel gavzeh. Are we talking about one is on top of another? Two layers of items? Umika shomer agav shomer. But is that true? Would a layer on top of a layer, would that be called a shomer? But it's not. The Mishnah says in Mesechus Oxen. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shalosh klipas bebatzel. Three. There are three peels of an onion. Three peels of an onion. Panimis, bein shlema, bein kadura, mitzarefes. The inner layer, that's an edible layer. So it doesn't matter, even if that layer has a hole in it, it's still considered part of the onion. So it's mitzaref to the size of the onion for tumas ochlin. Emtsa is the middle layer, then it depends. Shlema mitzarefes. If it's whole, it's mitzaref. Why? Because that's a shomer. That's a shomer for the onion, and therefore, as long as it's whole, it's doing its function as a shomer, and it's mitzaref. Kedura ein mitzarefes. If it has a hole in it, that it's not protecting the onion inside of it, so it's not mitzarif. Chitzona, that outer brown stuff that's fallen off, ben kachomega Torah, that's for sure not a shomer. Why? So we assume because that's a shomer la shomer. Kasha. So what's the what was Rav Oshia's question? Ketusha Ravim is Tarif? If it's one on top of another, it's for sure not it's Tarif. Right, it's Tar. So let's get to the answer, and then we'll talk more about onions. Rav Oshia, Shomer Ochel Shechilko Kamiboile. The Shaila here is about a Shomer that was split in half. What does that mean? Rashi has two opinions here. Either you have a Shomer that is the size of a Kezias, and then it's split. Or Rashi says you have two tiny little onions. Each one of them is less than a Kezias, but together. Together they're mitzvah. See Rashi on the fourth skinny line. We'll go with Epshat. Kigon shnei batzlonim. But I'm sorry. Shnei batzalim ketanim. Shein b'shneim elakabetsa im shomrehem. All together they have the shear. That's the third Rashi today that requires a beitza, right, for it to become tame. So all together. So can they combine two shomrim? So this is the suffix. Kivan dahai lo megin ahai v'hai lo megin ahai lo mitzaref. As each shomer is not mitzaref on the other item, so it's not mitzaref. O dilma, or no, kivan dahai megin adi day v'hai megin adi day mitzarefin. It's each doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's each megin on what it's supposed to be doing. So maybe it should be okay. So let's just finish the Gemara, then we'll talk more. So Tashma, at least continue. Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So we're going to quote the same sources we quoted on Amud Aleph. So Tashma, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this is the second half of that Mishnah Uksin. Metar bishal pul, metami bishal kidnis. Remember the case of the pods. He says, even if you only have one in there, he says by a pul, by a bean, the pod is not, the pod is tahar, but by kidnis it's tami, b'b'nesha rotsa b'mashmishan, because you want to use it. El l'chora, we're talking about a couple of them together. Talking about one, probably have a couple of pods together, each with one in it. So you see, it's metame. So isn't that, doesn't that answer his question, that shomrib could combine with each other? So where it says, no, amar vacha, b'rei derava, b'kolcho mishum yad, is what we quoted before. No, we're talking about a stem, which they're all physically connected to each other. Umay b'mashmishan b'tashmishan. We're talking about a stalk which is connected to stems, a stem which is connected to stalks which is connected to the kernels. Meaning there's no answer, right? Rav Oshia's shaila is that shomrim that are not physically connected to each other. In this case, we could say it was all connected. Tashma, also another try. The Tanya of the Rabbi Shmuel, I'll call Zera Zerua, Kedarach Shavadi Adam Motzi and Lizria, Chita Beklipasa, Vesara Beklipasa, Vadoshim Beklipasa. As we had this too. Also here, you see they're not connected, and Lachar, you're talking about a few of them together. Rashi says we could have also answered Birya here, but instead we give a different answer. Kedam Rav Acha, Brei de Rava, Bikulcha, Umishum Yad, just like Rav Acha came up with a different way to understand it earlier, we're talking about a stem, Hachanami, Bishidra, Umishum Shomer, we're talking about a whole stalk with kernels still attached to it. Meaning it's all connected. You plant a stalk sometimes with kernels still attached to it into the ground in order to maybe to make another plant grow there. So again, it is all connected, so it doesn't answer Rav Oshia's question. Umishum shomer. Bishidra umishum shomer. Right, because also, it's assuming that without this middle one, the items won't keep as fresh. Won't keep as fresh. You have to say, right? So bishlama ilasa. So 1 second. I understand how the upper ones need the lower ones. Srichalatatasa, because of the lower ones, I guess which are closer to the base, so it's just an agricultural metzias, the bottom ones fall off, and the upper ones are gonna go bad. Elatatiasa my srichalilasa. So the lower ones, they don't need the upper ones. So why are they considered a shomer for them? So bechadara. No, we're talking about ones that are all in the same row. Where do we have Bechadara elsewhere in Shas? Where else Bechadara come up elsewhere in Shas? Hadasim. Hadasim. They should be Meshulish Bechadara. Right? They have three Meshulish. You have three in one row. So Bechadara. So Gemara says, Mika, Kabeta, Oakland, Bechadara. Do you ever have enough in one row? How do you have so many kernels in one row? That's the Shir of Beitza. Yeah. Bechiti the Shem Ben Shatach. And the sweet of Shem Ben Shatach. What is that? The Gemara see on the side? Tainus Chaf Gimel. The Gemara there says, in the days of Shem and Shatach, the wheat were huge. The wheat were the size of kidneys, the Gemara there says. So therefore, if you look at that Gemara, we don't have time to go into it again. But maybe we'll make a comment on it related to Noach if we have time. Anyway, that's the wheat. So the Gemara says, once we've come onto this, so Chadachi Denami. So even if you don't have one, you have to come up to a row. One kernel itself. Bechiti the Shem and Shatach, period. I'll stop there for a second. Onions. It's all about peels of onions. What's the halacha if you have a peeled onion overnight? Peeled onion overnight. I'm talking about the peels of onions. So the Gemara says, not found in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch does not quote it. But the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara Nida, Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara there says, Gemara Nida, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph. Amar Reb Shimon ben Yochai, hey dvarim hein, sheha osa osan mischaya benafsho v'dama barosho. Five things is considered you're committing suicide. Ha ochel shum kalaf. Somebody eats peeled garlic. Ubatzel kalaf. Peeled onions. Ubeitza klufa. A peeled egg. Vashose mashkin mizugin sh'avar lan alayla. Somebody eats, drinks diluted liquid that was left overnight. Vahalon bebeis akvaris. Somebody sleeps in the cemetery. Vahanotel tziparnav vizarkan l'rishus harabim. This is the fingernails gemara. Vahamekiz damu mishamish bitaso. Somebody does a chazaz dam and right afterwards is mishamish bitaso. So the gemara goes through all of these. And the gemara then says in the next line, only if it's left overnight, because it's ruach ra. Okay, wonderful. That's the gemara. So none of these are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, except for maybe Ramayim Megulim, and then it quotes not. So the big shail in the achronim, you can look in the Sharm Siyan and Balacha right here, it has three pages on the poskim about onions overnight. Does it apply only if it's left overnight? What if it's in the fridge? What if it's in a plastic bag? What if it's in a plastic bag in the fridge? Is that considered open or not? Is there ruach ra at all bizman hazeh if it's left overnight? Maybe it's only if you believe in it, like the zugos at the end of Psachim. If you believe in it, it's a problem. If you don't believe it, it's not a problem. But that's the issue of peeled onions. Right? A lot of these issues are ruach ra. What about sleeping with food under your bed bizman hazeh? Do all those halachas apply? Rav Moshe has a fascinating distinction. Rav Moshe says in Yoredeya Gimel Chaf, Rav Moshe says, because the Shiloh was, there was a type of a factory, I don't know what they were talking about, where they had to peel like thousands of eggs way before they were going to use them. And they just keep them, and then they use them later on in the process. So Rav Moshe has a big tshuva where he says, Aval Amarti, he says, big chiddush. He says, when do we say that the whole problem of sakana is only something that the derech ha'olam is to peel right before you eat it, and then you did that, and then you ended up not using it? That's when there's a ruach ra. But if it's derech to peel way before you eat it, then the whole idea doesn't apply. Aval bedavar shaderech shetzarach leklipasa and hu bizman mukdam to yamim kahat the kalav likbots chavios shel chelbonim v'shel chamonim lak piam ulamochram lebati afia hu inyan kalav acher she'ein ze bechal uvda desasa mash amar of shemay yochai she'ein lana lemelef mizeh shebedram keelu she'ein lahem tam ela shekinu hametzius deshrias ruach ra ein lana elazeh shenemar mefurash v'lo af b'shinui ksas. If there's any type of little different case, you don't have to assume that Ruach Ra goes there. That's Rav Moshe's chilek. Rav Moshe assumes, though, that Bizman Hazeh maybe should be machmir about it. He's just saying that you don't have to be machmir. You can be machmir about it only in the smallest cases possible. But where it's a case, right? Pashtus in the fridge and in the bag, it's not shouldn't be a problem. It's only if it's left open overnight. All right, does Ruach Ra get into the fridge? So it's a good child, but maybe not. Anyways, to do.
No, Beitza is not brought down with Shulchan Aruch.
None of them brought down, but the Vilna Gaon is machmir about all these halachas. Even though the Shulchan Aruch has not, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote any of these. So that's why Yesh Mi Amal Lismoch. A lot of the look at that Sharm Sein Balacha right there. Nidu Yizayin. It quotes three pages on this, just on the onions. Then he has a lot on fingernails and. But that's just on the onions. There's a lot to talk about. Let's just do a drop more, and then let's get into the wide lines, and then we'll stop. Gufa. Well, now we're about to quote what we quoted earlier. According to Tosefta, this is also, the Sharm Siyaran Balacha here points out, very unusual, Gufa followed by a discussion of the Tanoim. Gufa usually is quoting a previous Machlokas Amorayim, but he says, look at Rashi and Sukkah Yadalad. Rashi and Sukkah Yadalad says, unbelievable Yesod, whenever you have something from Taharis, then the Gemara will quote it as a Gufa, even though it's from the Tanoim, because there's no Gemara, there's no Bavli on it. So if we want to focus on it, we'll quote it as a Gufa, even though Gufa is usually reserved for Amorayim. That's Rashi in Sukkah Yudalad Amal Alef. Gufa. In the case before, bones, they each have a half a gazayas of flesh on it. There goes Hashem, Shnaim, Labais. Vabais, Mamalayan, Abais, Tami, Yudimina Kusomer, Shiva Yaakov, Hech, Shnaim, Sabas, Vesavala, Gazayas. That was the Machlokas we had earlier. But what was Mashba from the Machlokas? That everybody would agree if you have one bone with a whole kazayas on the edge of it, it would make the house Tami. Amari Shlakish, Lo Shanu Ela Etzem Dahavayad. This is only about a bone. Aval nema lo have a yad. Hair would not be a yad. Only bones. Why? Rashi explains. Because if you lift it up by the hair, it's going to rip. So that can't. Hair can't be a yad, says Rabbi Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, I feel the nema not be have a yad. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Even hair can be a yad. So if you have a hair connected to the flesh, sticking inside, so that would be a problem. Two more lines, then we're done. Aser, Rabbi Yochanan Rishlakish, Arshi, Shlav, Kizayis, Basar. If you have skin or hide that has a Kizayis, Basar on it, Halgeya, Betziva, Yesu, Menu, Basar, Shekinek, Tame. If you touch a tziv, that's hair that's coming out, tziv, that's a sliver of meat, a flesh that comes out of it, or hair that comes out of it, Tame. My Lami Shum Yad, isn't this an issue of Yad? And you see, it is Tame, so it's a Kasha on Rishlakish. Lo, Mishum Shomer, it's a Shomer. Umiika Shomer, Agabi Shomer. But what do you mean? Hair is connected to hide, which is connected to basar. Isn't it shomer gabi shomer? No. Chilchule mechalchel. The hair penetrated and went directly to the flesh, and it's not connected just to the hide. Maskevlar of Acha bar Yaakov elameata tefillin echi kasvinon habiyinang sivatam avaleka. But what do you mean? All hair goes through hide? Then all hide has holes in it. So how can you write tefillin? Tefillin is not allowed to have holes on the cloth. Gemara answers, ishtamitse hadarmi b'marava. Kol nekev shadiyo over alav eno nekev. No problem. If the hole is so tiny that if a sofer writes on it, it won't be noticed, it's not called a hole for hilchus tefillin. Even though it would be called penetration for hilchus tumah. The bayisema, or we say kulim mishum yad. Maybe the whole thing is talking about a yad. And Rish Lakish has a different, you know what? Let's stop with the bayisema because it's going to go on something else. We'll stop right before bayisema and we will continue. Okay, parak over rotev. Got to make everything exciting in life, in Shas. So, we will continue by the Hashem tomorrow in the post-Chagim era.
Thank you very much.